Hello once again with this Bible study program, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. It presents this Monday to Friday from 1 to 1:15. Next week, Jeff Buckle should be in Romans 9 and Ephesians chapter 4, maybe chapter 5 for Brother Mark B.B. And Lord willing, today I'm going to be in 1 Timothy 3 once again. And we just appreciate everyone listening. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this chance to open your word. We thank you for the inspired scripture that is before us. We hold it before us, Lord, and we respect and honor it. We pray, Lord, that we might just hold it in such a way, Father, every time it's before us. We just pray that you would guide and lead today. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, again, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we've spent 2 days on an introduction of this chapter just because of the necessity and the importance of this theme that we're looking into. We're looking at those that shepherd the flock, and today we'll actually get into that area. We've been looking at introduction thoughts on the body of Christ and the shepherding thereof. And today we'd like to look specifically at the verses 2 to 7 that speaks of the qualifications thereof, and this affects everyone that's in the body of Christ. So please don't ignore it just because you may or may not be desiring or active in the shepherding of the flock. In fact, note this, you may actually be part of the leadership of a meeting and don't realize it in one sense. Now, note what I'm saying here. You may be doing the work, although you may not be recognized. The fact that there is, in the New Testament, many examples of the leadership in the New Testament church, you may actually be doing the work. But whether you have the title or not, well, titles aren't really what the Lord's looking for anyway. Back in the book of Job, there was a man that said, "I know not to give men flattering titles." So let's not get caught up with wanting a title as so much as, are we doing the work? Are we caring for the people of God? So let's read here in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2, a bishop, which we see that that's the same word in the Greek as the word for overseer. We'll look at the Greek definition here momentarily. It says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. So here we see the qualifications of a bishop or an overseer. If we also turn over here, before we look at our definition, in Titus, the next couple books over, it gives a similar reading in chapter 1, verses 7, 7 and 8 and 9. And before that, Titus was told by Paul, he said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee." We see then in verse 6 on down, it speaks of, again, qualifications of those that are to be elders. And it mentions the word bishop or overseer in verse 7. So it's quite evident that elders, overseer, bishops, those words are interchangeable. And we'll see if we turn further over into 1 Peter, we read over there in chapter 5, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder," Peter says, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, it says, feed or tend the flock. That's the work of a shepherd, or what we say a lot of times, pastor. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, there's that word for bishop again, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. Again, mentioned yesterday, we mentioned the crown. Here we see a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That is one of the crowns given out in rewards to the Lord's people. This one for the faithful serving as a shepherd in the local assembly. But if you notice here, Peter said the elders, then he said feed the flock, which is the work of a pastor or shepherd, and then he called them taking the oversight, which is the word for bishop. So 1 Peter 5, Titus 1, 1 Timothy 3, Acts 20, Acts 13, James 5, we can go on and on. All these passages indicate to us that elders, bishops, overseer, pastor are interchangeable. If we were to go on in 1 Timothy, we would then see a different role, which is in verse 8, speaks of the deacons. Those are assistants to the leadership in the local assembly. We see the difference between deacons and bishops here in chapter 3 is that the deacons are not specifically mentioned as ones apt to teach, although they need to be one holding to the word of God. But we see that those that are in the oversight have the great responsibility of leading the flock, shepherding flock, tending the flock, having an aptitude to teach the word. Now, that may or may not be from the platform. You know, I fellowship in a local assembly of Christians where there's a group of pastors. Certain men that are gifted to preach that are in that assembly, and we have ones that are specifically shepherding the flock. Sometimes that overlaps. Sometimes it does not. We see that when it comes to preaching the word, that's a matter of gift. When it comes to a matter of the work of a bishop or elder or overseer, that is a specific work where you may have a man that has this or that or another gift. So they may not overlap. In other words, to be apt to teach means you could teach from the platform, sure. But you also may be a bishop or overseer, an elder, and your ability may not be public teaching, but you do need to be apt to teach. Well, the scripture says it in chapter 3. In other words, you could teach by example, sitting down one-on-one with the Christian, answering their biblical questions. When they come to you, you're able to rightly divide the word of truth. You're able to encourage them the right way. You're apt to teach because you have an understanding of the word. So apt to teach can be a public ministry, or it may be on a more of a personal level. Some pastors and elders and bishops are more comfortable one-on-one with people. Some are gifted as a preacher. So that's why it's such a tremendous thing when we look at the New Testament pattern, that if you have, such as in Acts chapter 13, look at what we have here in Acts 13. It says here, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. We see here five teachers mentioned at the church at Antioch. And if we read on, we would see where Paul and, or rather Saul at that time he was called, and Barnabas, two of those five, were sent out on a missionary journey. But if we go back a little further into chapter 11, chapter 11 verse 30, it speaks of how there was relief sent unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders, by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we see that there was a group of leaders at the church at Antioch, and it names them by name. There was five specific men that were the teachers at the local church at Antioch. So having said that, we come over here to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we can see how today, and I've seen it in practical application, it is not only the biblical way, it also is the most edifying way. When you have more than one shepherds in your meeting, then one of them may be an evangelist. Another one may be gifted in administration. Another one may be gifted as a teacher. But you have them molding together of various gifts instead of expecting one man, which normally he's not going to be, gifted at all these areas. It's not biblical to say that one man has all the gifts of the body of Christ. So when you have a body of Christ and you have shepherds, two or three of them may be teachers. You may have one that's an evangelist. But whatever way the Lord works out that local assembly, it truly is edifying. Also, when you get into church discipline, as we'll see in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, let me check my time here, but when you go on to that, we could most certainly see then that there's a time when one's fallen to sin, there must be discipline. Well, if you have one man as your shepherd in your meeting, if he falls into sin, how many times have you seen local churches split because of sin of a shepherd? But if you have a group of shepherds, as the pattern in the New Testament, when one of those men fall into sin, then he can be disciplined and hopefully restored, but that meeting can still function because they're not depending on one man. If there's two or three other shepherds in the flock, then they can go on and function in a biblical way, and they don't have to depend solely on that one man. If he has died, or he moved, or he fell into sin, or whatever, if he's the shepherd, then how many times have you seen a local church in disarray or end up splitting because they want to follow that one man, you see? But when we have the biblical pattern, then we're able to function regardless. In other words, one man is not going to be the answer to everything. Some men have a more apparent gift than others. We realize that. Some men are better preachers than others. We realize that. But here, it says a bishop. Men must be blameless. We see also the husband of one wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior. Given to hospitality and aptitudes. That's what it says in verse 2. But here, what a tremendous exhortation. These points of qualifications would apply to everyone when it comes to a biblical sense. Here it's talking about the oversight. But my friend, it's not just for them in the sense of behavior. If we take these areas of qualifications for the shepherd of the local assembly, for those that are in that area, if we apply these same areas of biblical morality, if you will, and biblical ethics, if you or I or anyone is not holding to any of these qualifications ourselves, then most of them would indicate that we're in some area of sin. Join us tomorrow with a new road from two destinies.